Did you know that there are different genres in the Bible? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I want to, before we start, tell you about our national conference, which is happening on October 26th through October 29th. It's happening at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. It's a great time to both meet new friends or old friends and study the Bible together. We certainly hope to see you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion in our new series called How to Study the Bible. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Yesterday, we started a series on basically how to study the Bible.
Hermeneutics.
And we talked about why it's important to study the Bible, as opposed to all these kind of fake religious-y things that Christians tend to do. Studying the Bible, being in God's Word, changing your mind according to God's Word, that's actually something God has ordered.
Right.
I use the illustration of God going to a restaurant and ordering prime rib spirituality, and that so many people in Christendom have decided to give him tofu instead because they think that's what God wants. But he doesn't want tofu. He wants prime rib spirituality. So the question is, what is prime rib spirituality? Praying before candles and stuff, that's tofu.
All the incense, all the...
wearing all special religious clothing, that's tofu. God hasn't asked for that. You know, it's like, what would other be
well,
other
altars. I mean, in both the Orthodox and the Catholic traditions, they call them altars because... and they call their people priests because they think we're still in the Old Testament.
Yeah, having sacred spaces, that's tofu. God hasn't asked for that. He had a sacred space in the temple, and then he blew it up in 70 AD.
Right.
So there's all kinds of tofu spirituality, praying the saints and all the cult of the saints. That's tofu spirituality. God never asked for any of that. So what's the prime rib? What has he ordered? One of the things that he ordered was studying the Bible. And by the way, we just did a regional conference in Miami where we explored the things that God has actually asked us to do. And it was called Biblical Spiritual Practices. And you can watch the video at our YouTube channel, GES.
Or Grace Evangelical.
Grace Evangelical Society. Yeah. You can also listen to the audio at our website, faithalone.org.
They can also see a book by Zane Hodges, which I think was one of his best, very short, but it's called Six Secrets of the Christian Life. And a big part of that book is on studying God's Word. And they can get that at our website, too,
and that's not,
at faithalone.org.
And that's definitely not an expensive book. So let's talk about how to study the Bible. Have you ever had the experience where you write someone a letter and they understand something completely different from what you've written?
I have had that happen. I've written blogs.
By the way, our blog comes out 5 days a week in English and 3 days a week in Spanish, and you can sign up for that at faithalone.org. But it's true, writing every day and interacting with people who've read us every day, it becomes very clear that not everyone is great at reading something. Reading comprehension is what they call it.
Right. Interpretation is not simply interpreting the Bible. Hermeneutics isn't interpreting anything. So you can interpret Shakespeare. You can interpret Thoreau.
Right.
You can interpret the Bible. You can interpret the Quran.
Right.
You can interpret any book. But biblical interpretation is the most important interpretation there is, because the Bible is the book that tells us how to have everlasting life, and it also tells us how to have an abundant life now,
right.
And it also tells us how to lay up eternal treasure and eternal rewards.
Right. In one sense, you would interpret the Bible as you would any other book. I mean, most of the rules are the same. It's not like the Bible has special rules that only apply to it. If Jesus says, whoever believes in me has everlasting life, you don't need to even to be a believer in order to understand what he's saying.
One of the big books that was pushed when I was at Dallas Seminary was E.D. Hirsch, and he wrote a book called Validity in Interpretation, I think.
That sounds right, yeah.
Hirsch's basic view is that we develop some sort of a genre guess when you would read literature. If you didn't know what the type of literature it was,
right,
as you're reading it, you're developing a genre guess. And then as you read it, you're developing an idea for what the big idea is of what you're reading.
Okay.
And you keep refining the big idea the more you read.
Well, let's stop there and let's talk about that. Maybe that's the first thing that we can talk about. The Bible, and not a lot of people may not recognize this, the Bible isn't a book so much as it is a library.
That's a good point. There are 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And this library of books have different types of literature within them. That's what we mean by the word G-E-N-R-E, genre.
Right.
Is that French, by the way, Sean?
Yeah, I think so.
So
yes.
What does genre mean in French?
Same as it does in English.
Yeah. It means genre.
Yeah, it means genre. Okay. What would be a synonym for that?
Something like type?
Type or category, maybe.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about some of these genres in the Bible. You have law books. So these books that just tell you do this, don't do that.
Right. Now, typically those books fall into the bigger category of the books that are recording history.
Uh-huh.
But yes, that's one category.
All right. You have books that just have rules.
Right.
And you'd kind of interpret it the way maybe a lawyer might read these rules.
Well, in fact, that's what, of course, we read in the Gospels. When we read people that were reading about lawyers, these were interpreters of the law of Moses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually that's why there's a lot of Jewish people in the legal profession, because it's really kind of inbuilt into your religion, you know,
to study the law,
especially since modern laws are so often based on biblical law.
Well, also another thing, in order to interpret, you have to be analytical. You have to analyze. You have to think. I know you've written on this elsewhere, but part of the fact that Jewish people are the chosen people is shown in the fact that there's some exceptionalism among Jewish people.
Yeah, I have this article called Jewish Genius and the Existence of God, and I basically just argue that, you know, God has promised to bless the Jewish people. This is a sidetrack, by the way, but I like the article, and a lot of people have written to me about it, and it just shows that, in fact, the Jewish people are very blessed.
Didn't you show that their average IQ is 112 when the average person is 100?
Yeah, the people with the highest IQ in the world are Ashkenazi Jews. One-third of the billionaires are Jewish people. One-third of the Nobel Prize winners are Jewish people.
Their world population is like less than 0.1%.
Yeah. If everything was going to be equal according to population, then you'd get maybe one Jewish billionaire instead of a third of all of them.
Right.
You know, but that's not how God
works. And same thing with Nobel laureates and et cetera.
So how did we get on to this?
Because you need to have an analytic mind. They're analyzing the law of Moses. But truth is, we all need to be that type of person who is studying God's word.
Right, absolutely. So you have legal writings. Then you have what you mentioned before. You have straight up histories. Let's say the histories of the kings of Israel or the history of the judges.
Right. You got 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel. You've got lots of books that report the history of Israel. You also have a different type of history books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, which are unique genre all in themselves. They're called Gospels, which is basically religious biography.
Right.
Or it's also called hagiography, which is holy biography.
Right. And you would read those not too much differently than you'd read any other history book.
However, having said that, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are different than John. The genres are slightly different. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are presenting the ministry of Jesus from one perspective, but John from a different perspective.
I would say that's not a question of genre. That's a question of the purpose.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's more of a purpose question. So it's like someone writing a biography of a politician might have a different purpose from someone writing a biography of an artist. Or you can write a biography about, say, Winston Churchill, and you can write a biography just about Winston Churchill's religious life. Or you can write a biography about Winston Churchill, just the final days of his life. You know, you can focus on different things.
That's great.
And that's what the gospel writers did about Jesus.
You know? Right.
John's gospel focuses on Jesus' personal evangelism, and synoptic writers focus on Jesus' ministry to Israel. So you have law books, you have history books, you have books of poetry.
Right. Now, books of poetry are often called wisdom literature. So you've got Proverbs, Psalms, you've got Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes.
Right. And that's an interesting question, because wisdom literature has just straight up history narrative, like the book of Job. But then it has books of kind of almost like laws, like Proverbs. And then it has books of pure poetry, like, let's say, Song of Solomon or the Psalms.
And you also have some of the wisdom literature embedded within other genres. For example, the Gospel of Matthew has the Sermon on the Mount, which is wisdom literature.
Right.
Or the Epistle, which is another type, a letter of James, the whole letter of James is wisdom literature.
And so when you're reading something that's poetry, wouldn't you say that it's a little bit different from reading straight up history? Poetry uses imagery. Poetry
right.
uses similes. And poetry uses all these kind of techniques in order to sometimes to communicate an idea without being explicit about it. Let's say in history, it'll say, you know, Saul fell on his sword. That's not symbolic of anything. That's just what happened.
Right.
But you might have something else, like in a poetic form, it's a little bit different.
Well, or even not poetic, but there are types in Scripture, like Abraham offers up Isaac. He's about to bring the knife down to take his life. God stops him, but that's an example or a type or a foreshadowing of Jesus dying on the cross because the Father sent the Son out of his love for the world, John 3:16,
right.
to die for us so that whoever believes in him has everlasting life.
Okay, so now you raise, that's a very interesting question. I said before that you interpret the Bible as you would any other book for the most part. But this would be an example of where interpreting the Bible is a little bit different from interpreting other types of literature. So, for example, when Winston Churchill died, that wasn't a type of anything. He
right.
just died. But when Abraham offers up Isaac to God, that literally happened. That's history. You can read that as something that actually happened. But as you said, God had a purpose towards that. It was going to point to something that would happen to Messiah.
Right.
And so there is a level in which you're studying history where you have to actually look for almost like the spiritual meaning of what's happening, because God recorded that history for a purpose.
And we can get into this in future episodes, but other scripture will tell us there's a type. Like Jesus tells us that Jonah being 3 days in the belly of a great fish mm-hmm. is a type of his own resurrection from the dead on the third day. So we know that's a type. And the same thing with Abraham offering up Isaac. But there are lots of creative people that come up with all kinds of types that no scripture tells us is a type.
Right.
And so we need to be careful there.
Yeah, and actually, you know what? Let's talk about this in the next episode, because it is very key when you're studying the Bible.
There's also a couple of genres we haven't mentioned, so we'll begin with finishing up the genres and then go into the question of types.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the grammatical historical method, so you want to join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.